Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Kieser here with you on this Friday morning. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We'll have Mike Wilson from the Knoxville News Sentinel joining us at 7:30. We'll get his thoughts on Tennessee and Texas A&M coming up in the College World Series Finals, which begins tomorrow in Omaha. Joe Rex Road will be there live and in person.
Yeah. Oh, gosh. Thanks for the reminder. 7:45. I know I'm supposed to rant, but I have to check in for my flight. So we can all do that together.
That could influence the rant.
What do you mean we all check in?
If it's a bad, if you get a bad seat, that could be some rant fodder right there.
Well, we're doing the program, so we're all going to do it together.
Yeah.
I mean, we'll all be a part of it. Well, yeah, you don't have to do anything.
Right, I don't have to.
I'm not
going to
like throw you my phone and be like, you know.
Keezer's not listening.
You didn't want to rant in front of your son today? Is that what I'm hearing?
I've tried to have three different conversations with Keezer today that he's just not been a part of. So he just
got a high maintenance.
Immediately it turns his attention somewhere else.
Got a high maintenance intern in there.
Maybe so.
You know, you got to give Keezer a little grace for that.
He's done a really good job.
That's good.
Yeah, okay. That's good. Good to know. You know, you guys know that. Like the absolute. I mean, I'm sure everybody around here has flown Southwest at some point, right?
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
See, that absolute,
it's pretty much
that awful feeling. Yeah, me too now. That awful feeling if you forget to check in, like if you didn't set the alarm for yourself or whatever, and it's like hours later, like, oh, my God, C-23.
Right.
Exactly. That's our stilly. We at least need some stilly drops today.
Well, he normally joins us at this time, but he's on vacation.
Still, he's out. TD's heading to tropical locale. I mean, we got, you know, it's that time of year, man.
Everybody's leaving.
Yeah. And I get to go to Omaha.
Yeah.
Measuring cheek size. Good God.
File continues to grow.
The intern thinks that's funny.
615.
Probably not.
737-1025. Our phone number. Every time you play that Vrabel drop of the probably not. Because I remember what I said to him there. I was like, hey, yeah. Mike, you know, looking for, we'll have you on again soon. Probably not. Do you think he ever came back on? No, he did not.
Yeah, that's right.
I didn't know that's what it was from.
Oh, yeah. It was ending the show, and I was like, hey, Mike, thanks for, you know, taking time to be with us, and we'll talk to you again soon. Probably not.
What did you ask him earlier? Did you, like, press him on something? Was he just pissed?
You know, I actually
I
regret.
Think it was his attempt at a joke.
I regret that interview because we should have just completely just asked him, like, oddball questions.
We really should have.
Because we were just trying football, and then he just went into, like,
total glaze over mode.
Yeah, just.
Workload?
Should have just asked him. I should have really just asked him, like, how heartbreaking was it when you were a child and John Elway went 98 yards down the field on your Cleveland Browns? How awful was that for you? What did you do? What did you break?
The probably not was him, like, joke. I mean, I think it was a joke, but not a joke, if that makes sense.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, he was trying to be funny, but also, he was like, I'm serious. I'm not doing this.
It's funny because it's true.
Yeah. Exactly. I got a text that says, Anthony Duclair would be an intriguing piece to add for the Predators. His best season was with Brunette, 31 goals in Florida. He's not going to put you over the top, but a solid piece with familiarity. What do you think of that? You know, Duclair was actually a pretty good pickup by the Lightning at the deadline this year. It feels like he's played for.
You know, say, how old is Duclair? He's 33 or something, right?
I don't think he's as old as you think.
No?
He is 28.
What?
I know. It feels like he's been around.
That stuns me.
He's been around forever. And he has played. Let's see where he's played. He has played for the Coyotes, the Panthers, the Senators, the Rangers, the Blackhawks, the Blue Jackets, the Sharks, and the Lightning.
So he's Yannick Ngakoue.
Yeah, pretty much. He's been everywhere.
I mean, I don't hate that idea. That's also kind of like, it's like a philosophical question too, right? Like, is it like you have to go get someone who shifts the earth?
Right.
Or is it like, you know, some solid? It is.
Yeah.
But that's like, again, that's why I look at a guy like Trevor Zegras. I'm like, I don't know. Like, is that one of those where you sort of gamble on someone and all of a sudden they flourish with you? Oh, again, if that's realistic, then the Ducks aren't letting him go. But, yeah. Solid pieces like a Duclair, if it's veterans, you know, like, should they keep Zucker? There's a decision that's like young guy or, you know, good player, veteran who'd be somewhere in your lineup. I mean, I don't know. I mean, basically, I think, again, if you're signing Saros, you just were trying to be as good as you possibly can.
Yeah. I think
now.
So. Yeah, I think, well, and if you're signing Saros, it's not 100%. Like, it's not like you're viewing it as, well, we have to win a Stanley Cup in 2 years if we sign Saros, no. And we don't if we don't, if we go a different route. But to your point, you're let's say they sign him to an 8-year deal. First off, this next season, the contract is what it is. It's 1 year, $5 million, and then the contract would kick in after that. Well, you know, he's 29. How much longer is he going to be in the prime, right? How much longer is he going to be at his best for your chance to win?
Right, and we already talk about Josi and Forsberg.
Right.
So, and that's the thing. It's like you're almost like declaring a window open that we wouldn't necessarily say is open, but that's what you're doing.
Yeah.
If you're signing up for Saros, you are, to me, you're saying that, I mean, by 25, 26, you better be pretty close.
Yeah.
Now, how do you get there? I don't know. I don't have an easy answer, but I think that's what you're doing, right?
Well, I think that's what you're doing. But the thing I keep coming back to is how do you solve the centerman problem? Like, that's what they've been trying to figure out for, you know, a quarter century at this point. Ryan O'Reilly is a really good player. Ryan O'Reilly had a great year for you last year. Ryan O'Reilly is probably not a number one center. He's a good player. He's, I think, if you told me last year, if you told me that he was going to have the season next season that he just had this past year, I'd sign up for it today, and you could get by with him playing a number one role. But he would be great at number two, right? Like, he'd be a great number two right now. And, you know, it's not like they don't know this. They've talked about this. Like, the idea of him maybe downshifting as the contract goes here. But right now, there's nowhere to downshift to. Like, there's no one that's even close to taking his spot. Like, Tommy Novak's not a number one center. Cody Glass may not even be on your roster. Like, it's just – So where's the center help coming from? I don't know. I have no idea where it's coming from right now.
Yeah.
And that's what you got to get figured. And look,
you need him to – you need him to be down the lineup.
You need him to be down the lineup. And, again, it's nothing wrong with him, but you need a higher level up there. And I just don't know where that's coming from. You know, Natchez can play center. He's been a lot on the wing as well. You know, Gensel's not a centerman. He's a winger.
Lindholm.
You know, Lindholm was – but even he – like, Lindholm – like, he's not a number one center.
No.
He's a good player. He's not a number one center.
He's another two?
Yeah. Yeah, that's what he is.
I mean, like, basically they had
– I think he was – I mean, he's three in Vancouver.
So, yeah. Well, right, but, yeah.
They got two pretty good ones from.
Yeah, sure. But, like, basically you had – you traded for Johansson, and then you had a couple years where it was like, who's the number two center? Go get Kyle Turris.
Yeah.
You know? But other than that, it's been who's the number one center?
Yeah.
I guess Fisher –
yeah, I mean, and even he was never a number one.
Right.
So that question still surrounds this franchise. How do you find it? And is it impossible to win without one? No. Is it really, really hard to win without one? Yes. You know, nobody's saying you have to have Edmonton where it's McDavid and Draisaitl. But it feels like you got to have somebody. Like Barkov is not McDavid. He's not Draisaitl. But, man, is he good. Like, he's a really good two-way player. And it's a different style. Like, Barkov doesn't really overwhelm anybody offensively. He's good offensively. He's elite defensively. Like, he's a menace out there. So there's different styles of number one centerman. But that, to me, is still – when you talk about the Predators taking the next step, until you solve that, I don't know how you take that step into being perennially a contender. Like, you got to figure that out.
Like, in the pipeline, I guess at some point, could Matthew Wood does Matthew Wood have the potential to be a guy like that?
I mean,
again, we're talking now. We're talking down the line, but I'm just, you know.
I mean, maybe.
I'm just looking at their prospect pool, yeah. And most of their prospects, you know, are just not centermen.
Yeah, I mean, maybe he might, but I don't think, if I had to bet on it, no. So How do you go about finding that? I mean, it's the age-old question with this team. 615-737-1025 is our phone number, 615-737-1025. Coming up next, we'll get into the Will Levis Titans discussion that PK and Rex Road got into yesterday. Take your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Kieser here with you. Joe, you did a wonderful program with Paul Kuharski from PaulKuharski.com yesterday. Apparently, you two got into it about Will Levis and the S2 score. What was the foundation of this conversation?
I don't know if we really got into it. I mean, he'll just randomly have, like, flare us up. You know, I mean, nothing I can really control. You know? There you go. That is. That's sort of like... That's the AI Kuharski right there. That sound. By the way, thanks to Ethan for telling me you love my pink cup. Yeah. Remember, when Kuharski starts talking trash, no one cares.
Smoke weed constantly.
The drop will never get old.
I don't want the intern, you know, hear these bad things people do. Yeah, we talked. Kuharski's point is that Levis, that maybe we've been a little, I guess, optimistic about Levis, like we and as a Nashville media conglomerate. Yeah, I mean, Kuharski's always, you know,
Nashville media is so soft,
you know. But that maybe we've been a little optimistic. I hear what he's saying. And I think it brings to mind just the whole optimism about the Titans in general that we were probably overboard on. But again, I kept going back to the Barnwell thing. That Barnwell, and I think Barnwell's good, but I also think that he's an example of someone who, and you know, I'm going to turn this into like a Bill Barnwell critique. Because again, I think he's good, but. Like, reading what he wrote about Levis, it's like, here's an example of, like, being a little bit too married to the numbers. Because you know, the conditions, I'll go to Lenka. Like, these underlying numbers, these analytics, various, there's a lot of them out there, and I do think there's absolutely value in them. And if you can match them up with what you see, then, you know, then that obviously – makes a difference. But it's like, remember Lankinen when the Preds signed him?
Oh yeah.
It was like all the underlying numbers say this guy should barely be in the league. Well, the Preds had their own evaluation that did not was not naturalstattrick.com.
Yeah.
And they ended up being right, you know. So like the media accessible numbers still have limitations. I would certainly hope, compared to most teams at this point in the NFL, all of which is to say, like, that is, like, people who think he was just trash last year with nothing to offer and really, like, why aren't the Titans drafting a quarterback and on and on and on, they don't have the information. The information, which still is watching football.
Yeah.
Pretty important part of that information. So, I don't know. I mean, of course there's going to be, like, some fans who are probably too excited or have expectations a little too high for him.
I was going to say, like, I do think there's some Titans fans that have taken it too far the other way. Like, I think in general, the discourse around Will Levis from a national standpoint this offseason has been pretty ridiculous. Like, I think there are way too many people that just think he's absolutely terrible and that the Titans are going to be awful. And that the Titans, why is he even the quarterback? Why didn't they draft one? All those things. So we've talked about that. I think there's way too much of that this offseason. I also think there's some Titans fans that have gone too far the other way of, oh, well, we've got our guy. Like, he's our franchise quarterback. The Miami game was all I needed to see. Like, he's the franchise quarterback. And the Miami game was good. It was really encouraging. Now, there was a large stretch of the first part of the Miami game where he didn't play all that well, which is why they had to come back to begin with, because he threw a nice little interception for a touchdown. But he played great down the stretch there. I think this is a great kind of microcosm of our society. Extremes one way, extremes the other way. When really the answer is we just don't know. Like, I don't know if Will Levis is any good or not. I don't know that Will Levis is a starting quarterback in the league. I also don't know if he might be a top 10 quarterback. I have no idea. Like, there's a lot about him that I like. There's the arm strength he brings to the table. I think he's got a good head on his shoulders. Like, there's a lot about him that I like. But I don't know whether or not he's a franchise quarterback. And I don't know how anyone possibly could at this point.
Yeah, and I think that's most of – that's why, like, Kaharski's like, we've been to – I guess, I don't know, like, not critical enough or whatever. It's like, look, we all saw the same thing. I think for the most part, I maybe it's groupthink, but, like, I think for the most part, people have earned the same range, which is that just what you said. And like I said yesterday, and I've said it before here, like, I just think that the extremes are – both extremes are very unlikely. I think it's very unlikely that he's trash this year, and I think it's very unlikely that he's – so great that it's like, oh my gosh, fall all over yourself to sign him to the biggest deal you can sign him to, you know? Yeah. I just think the likelihood is, I think I said yesterday, okay to very good. That's like 85% of the probability to me, which, like, right now I would bet on Will Levis starting week one for the Tennessee Titans in 2025. But that still could be, you know, like it could be like Mariota starting his fourth season, where it's like, his fourth season would have been 18, right? Like Vrabel,
correct?
Like Vrabel's first season, where it's just like you're kind of gotten into the okay, still have hope for him, but let's see where it goes. Totally different, because when you're the number two pick with the expectations for him, it's way harder to meet expectations and way easier to come up short of them. Compared to a Levis, but I think he's gonna. I think there's probably gonna be ups and downs this year, and that there's gonna be like a need for more information in 2025.
Well, I think the other part of this is the draft, right? Like, the draft is influencing a lot of discourse around him, in my opinion. Like, look, I remember when they drafted him, I didn't like it. I mean, we talked about it. I didn't like Will Levis in the draft process. I thought he turned the ball over too much. I thought he made too many poor decisions. So, but I also think, like, once the draft happens, particularly the way it did, like, he was drafted in the second round, like, my evaluation of him after that point is totally independent of the draft, right? Like the draft is one thing, the discourse around the draft, but once the pick is made, like, the discourse around him should be whether or not he can play, not where he was drafted. And I think nationally, there's a lot of people that remember, well, he was supposed to go in the first round and he dropped way down in the second round. Something must be seriously wrong with him, and he's not very good. Like, I think, yeah. Because we know a lot of people don't watch Titans all that much. So I think that's a lot of where this comes from to me, is the draft.
Yeah. No, I think that's that's definitely true. Like, we're talking yesterday too. It's like, okay, so did Rand, Vrabel, did they have just some information that everybody else didn't have? I would say no, because if that's the case, they would have drafted him with the first pick that they had, right? Like, they were, I think it was like he's still there. I mean, that's too good to not go for. Texter on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHoney.com, says, everybody had the same feeling in Nashville. Now national media is wrong, LOL. Not sure I totally understand what you're saying there, but everybody had the same feeling in Nashville. Like, is that, in other words, everybody was down on Levis when they picked him? I don't think that's not true.
No, there were.
In fact, I didn't hate it. I remember laughing in the draft room at Kuharski, you know, because he was like, there's no way to take Will Levis. Yeah, come on. And I mocked him.
There are a lot of Tennessee fans that didn't like it. That's
Vols Titans fans.
Yeah, they didn't like it.
Got slapped in the face that night.
They did. 615-737-1025. Coming up next, speaking of the Vols, we'll be joined by Mike Wilson from the Knoxville News Sentinel. We'll get his thoughts on Tennessee and Texas A&M coming up in the College World Series Finals. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063 the game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Kieser here with you. on this Friday morning. Tennessee playing for the national title in the College World Series Finals. They'll take on Texas A&M. And to help us talk more about that, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcome in our friend Mike Wilson from the Knoxville News Sentinel. Mike, good morning. How are we doing?
Good morning. Yeah, I was just doing some quick research to see if I have to pay city taxes in Omaha next season or not, or next year or not.
God, have you reached your limit yet? Are you tired of the city of Omaha? Because I got good news for you. Reinforcements are on the way tomorrow. Rex Road's going to be there, baby.
You know, that's the boost of morale I need right there. Joseph Rex Road rolling into town.
We'll go get some.
Glad one of you is excited.
At least you've had some good beef, I assume, right?
Oh, I am perfectly content with everything that has transpired so far during my 8-day jaunt to Omaha.
That's good. That's good. Well, Mike, obviously, I mean, this is a history-making stuff for Tennessee here for Tony Vitello and company. 3-0 in the College World Series to this point. You know, obviously an incredible, dramatic finish with Florida State the first time out and really two dominant performances since then. What has impressed you the most in the aftermath of that game, the first game against Florida State, with the way that Tennessee has handled business since then?
I think I look at the pitching specifically, but certainly you can talk about the maturity Tony Vitello has raved about for months. That's been very evident, I think, against North Carolina and probably even more so against Florida State in the second game against the Seminoles. But Drew Beam and Xander Seacrest, the way they pitched, is pretty much it for me. Drew Beam hadn't been really great in the last month, and he came out and delivered an excellent start against North Carolina. And that's kind of the pivot point in a regional-type structure, is that second game, because that decides whether or not you get to go 1-0 to win it or if you have to go 3-0. And Drew Beam came out there and made sure Tennessee stayed on the right side. And then Xander Seacrest did what he's done for the past five starts, really, which was tremendous work on the mound.
Yeah, I mean, I said this, I think, yesterday. Seacrest, there's a lot of stories on this team, obviously, and, you know, the lineup is incredible. So many great players there. But, like, what he's done just the last two games and, like, just at the very end of this career of, let's face it, a lovable, fun dude, quirky guy who probably is just going to get a little bit of middle relief when the Vols are down 4 in the 7th, right? And kind of thing in his career. I mean, he's had some big moments, but for him to all of a sudden be this lights-out starter in these huge games, like, where did that come from?
It changed everything, first off, and that's what's fascinating to watch. It's a guy who wasn't really trusted to get SEC outs consistently last year into – becoming an opener partially out of necessity. Let's face it, Tennessee's pitching staff was thin at the start of the year, especially when you talked about starters. And that was even with A.J. Russell before he got hurt. They were counting on Russell to be great, but you didn't know if he was going to be great. They were counting on Drew Beam, which they knew what they were going to get there. But the Sunday roll was up in the air, too. Then you lose Russell, and you've got two rolls up in the air all of a sudden with a potentially generational offense and not sure if the pitching can match it. Xander Seacrest in the last month is one of the reasons why Tennessee's excelling the way that it is. He went like 17 innings in a row without allowing an earned run in the postseason. So I don't know if this is a let him go longer or sooner and stop kind of yanking him at the sign of pressure, or if this is just he's suddenly proven that he actually can do that. But whatever the reasoning behind it is, it's changed how Tennessee's gone in the last month.
Mike Wilson with us here on Robbie and Rex Road. So, Mike, what do you make of the matchup for Tennessee in the final against Texas A&M?
I like Tennessee against anyone at this point with the way they're playing. From a confidence standpoint and from a talent standpoint, I did pick Texas A&M to win the whole thing going into the tournament. But losing Braden Montgomery is a big deal. Jace LaViolette being pretty darn banged up is a big deal as well. Those are Texas A&M's two best players, obviously, but the big thing Texas A&M has, I think, is the advantage over what Florida would have been as a matchup, is they have an ace in Ryan Prager. And when you've got an ace in a best-of-three situation, that can be an equalizer when the other team has a big advantage because you can steal a game that way. So that's what I like for Texas A&M. It's a good lineup, a reliable lineup, very productive, but not having Brady Montgomery really hurts.
Yeah, so Prager, and he's a lefty, mm-hmm. fantastic talent. So what is the expectation in terms of matchups? I mean, first of all, is Vitello, I assume it's the same things. Stamos Causey, then Beam, and then Secrets if needed. I assume that's probably the way he's going, or is there any chance he goes right away with Beam?
I would stick with what's worked. I imagine we might get a little bit of a glimpse into that today during media, if not finality in terms of saying it's going to be Chris Stamos. But I would imagine you stick with what's worked for you for a really long time now and feel good about that. So that's what I would expect to see. And there's a little funny line from Drew Beam after his start last week, plus he's joking about Beam on Sundays. It's always worked. So keeping Drew Beam on track for a Sunday start might be in Tennessee's best interest.
And then what? And for the Aggies, then do we expect Prager right away?
I would if I was Texas A&M. I know he started game two for them going through this. Did not start the opener, and that turned out to pay off because he no hit Kentucky for like six innings, I think it was. That's the direction I would go for sure, is throw your best out there and try to go up 1-0 and put all the pressure on Tennessee.
So, Mike, you know, obviously this team is beloved by Tennessee fans. You know, there's a lot of Tennessee fans in Omaha. You know, Vitello, we've talked with you before about, you know, the kind of the folk hero he is in Knoxville right now. What's your sense for if Tennessee pulls this off and they win the national championship, how that registers kind of on the Richter scale with his fan base, what that does for Vitello around Knoxville, around the country as a college baseball coach? What's your sense for the aftermath, the reaction, if Tennessee pulls this off and they win?
I don't know if people are ready for Tennessee baseball national champions, for one. That was a good column by my colleague Gentry Estes the other day. Was Tennessee might be about to win a national championship. Can college baseball handle that? I thought that was a good thought. I mean, obviously, there's been a love affair between Tennessee fans and Tony Vitello for a while, both with his roster, his teams, the way they play. It's been that way for probably since mid-2021. You've really seen that. I think it took legs on in 2019 as that team got to the postseason, but you saw it in 2021. But I mean, that would be wild overall.
So
sorry, I think I dropped for a second. That would be wild. I think for Tony Vitello in Tennessee, I think you look at this program right now, it's been the best program since 2020 in college baseball in terms of wins and winning percentage. A national title is kind of that final piece to make that statement of being the best in the nation.
Keeping with Vitello, first of all, like I mean, he's untouchable. He's now – he should not have to buy a drink in the state. You know, he cannot be arrested, et cetera, if he finishes the deal. Also, do you think it's an absolute non-starter, Mike, that another program could entice him to at least sit down and listen? I know – I don't even know where, like, the Texas stuff is coming from, but, like, is that something that – we could potentially hear about someone making a run at him? Or is it like, you know, the guy's got everything, he just won a natty, why would he leave?
I think you're going to hear it from time to time. I think there's some jobs out there, such as a Texas, that qualify as having an air of can go get anyone. And I think even with what Tennessee has become, I think probably from some of those type of brands, there's probably still a perception of Tennessee is, you know, a little old baseball program sort of thing, and call the coach, try to get it. But the reality is, again, if Tony Vitello wins a national championship here, you can argue he's the best coach in college baseball. And I think it's an easier argument to make that he's the best program builder in college baseball because of where this thing started to where it is now. That was a question I got asked a few weeks ago, and you know, you can talk about Jay Johnson that makes it LSU, but Jay Johnson also started with his foot on third base at LSU to win a natty. He's a tremendous coach, won big at Arizona, winning big at LSU. But what Tony Vitello started with and built has kind of proven he is maybe the best program builder out there because this has turned into a juggernaut pretty quickly. So that to say, I'm sure there's going to be opportunities where schools call. I'm sure people are going to end up hearing about that. I'm also sure Tennessee is going to make Tony Vitello a very handsomely paid man at some point in the not-so-distant future. because that's typically how it goes with Danny White. Most guys are on five-year deals, so I'd imagine Tony Vitello gets back on that soon. And that's probably what I would see shake out this offseason.
Well, Mike, really appreciate you taking time to be with us. Hope you are enjoying the great state of Nebraska, and hope you have fun with the Rex Road this weekend.
I've never had fun with the Rex Road once in my life.
He did tell me I can.
There's always a first time for everything.
Yes, finally. He did tell me I can wear shorts in the press box, so I'm trusting your advice, man. Don't make me look like the jackass, the only one with shorts in the press box.
You'll be fine, my son. You'll be fine, my son.
Thank you, Mike. Appreciate you. Mike Wilson. 8 days in Omaha. That's a long time.
No, I remember 5 years ago, I did the same thing. Went out there for the Tennessee for the final series, Vanderbilt, Michigan, and poor Adam Sparks. About, hey, how you doing, bud? You found some of your favorite breakfast spots around here and everything? Meanwhile, every time I look at Twitter, Adam Sparks is like, hey, we're in Nicaragua. Hey, we're in Alaska. Hey, we're in Italy. Hey, we're in Tokyo.
Hey, we're in a Tennessee bar in Tokyo with Joe Milton's face on it.
Like, does Adam Sparks have unlimited money and vacation time? I need to figure this out.
I guess so.
What a life.
615-737-1025, our phone number. Coming up next, the Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad. He's also got to check into his flight here in about 2 minutes, so we'll do that as well.
Oh, I'm ready.
Robbie and Rexroad, 1025-1063.
Sometimes he wakes up on the wrong side of the bed. And sometimes he's just, well, Joe.
Awkward moment. Let's do it.
This is the Rex Rant, now on Robbie and Rex Road.
What's up? This is Scott Stapp from Creed, and you're listening to Robbie and Rex Road on 102.5 The Game.
Okay. Did I say Rex Road right?
Rex Road.
Rex Road. Okay, let me do that again.
No worries.
What's up? This is Scott Stapp from Creed, and you're listening to Robbie and Rex Road on 102.5 The Game.
It is that time of the day. Time for the Rex Rant with Joe Rex Road. You can check it out every morning here on the program. Or Rex Road. Got called, I was there. Rex Road got called Rex Road by multiple people yesterday at the golf tournament.
Yeah, so that's right. People came
continuing
up to
take the nation by storm.
Calling me Rex Road and... Also, somebody said that they were going to blast Creed, I think, the whole day.
Yeah.
I'm like, cool. If you like the same three songs over and over again. Jeez. I mean, I've never heard a Creed deep cut. How bad is a Creed deep cut? Like, if these are their hit songs, how bad are their, like, whatever songs? My God. Can you imagine?
I've heard some.
Someone tell me your favorite Creed deep cut if you're a Creed fan. I'd love to hear it. And then I'll just make up, like, lyrics to it and sing it to you, okay?
What a hater.
Yeah, I know.
Wasn't there a conversation, like, 3 weeks ago that you had about being less harsh on Creed?
I know.
That just went out the door.
I know. There's just so much Creed. And then now Keezer brings it back, and sometimes I just lose control a little bit. Yeah. By the way, I got A48 going from Nashville to St. Louis, and then I got A40 going from St. Louis to Omaha. So we'll take that.
You're in good shape. Well, yeah.
we'll take that. I'm pivoting quickly.
Okay.
To Mike Wilson. You know how I love to make fun of my Vols homers. Do we buy what Mike Wilson just said? Is Tony Vitello the best coach and program builder in college baseball if he finishes the deal?
That's a strong statement.
I'd like to hear from both Tennessee and Vanderbilt fans, perhaps. I'll pick a random fan base. How about Vanderbilt fans?
Yeah.
WHMR.
I'd like to hear from that, too. I did buy
that was that raised my eyebrow.
First thought when he said that, I did think, program builder. Tim Corbin? I don't know if I'd go best program builder for Vitello yet. But again, this lot largely comes down to how do you define program.
Right, because it's like, I mean, look, I like everything that Mike said to support that, he's not wrong.
Correct.
He basically has come in and immediately, now we talked about this yesterday with Kuharski. Now, I absolutely, as bad as Tennessee baseball was and irrelevant, you still come into that place, and if you have a plan, whoever your AD is, remember, that was a John Curry hire. Everybody ever tip their cap to John Curry in terms of hiring a coach. Every once in a while, tip your cap. But the Tennessee situation, irrelevance and a lot being ignored by the fan base, you're still talking about a fan base that will rally around to a winner.
Sure.
And you're still talking about resources. So when you compare that to what Tim Corbin must have encountered when he came here more than 20 years ago to Vanderbilt, I still think that it's a probably a tougher deal. I mean, Corbin, for most of his time at Vanderbilt, you're actually swimming upstream against university administrators or and trustees who are like basically like hate athletics.
He's done a lot of it on his own, right?
Yeah. I mean. So like I still would say like in terms of the difficulty of it, I would have to give Corbin the edge.
I would agree.
And also the long term, all of the things, and they are beyond winning, that are part of his program, pretty special. That said, what Vitello has done, and it is a different time, and it is program building is defined differently now.
Yes.
In college baseball, well, it's pretty impressive, man. Like it's until we see, you know, we saw the down year last year, losing some guys and have some guys weren't performing their best and all that stuff, a little bit of injuries, and they still get to Omaha. This year, like Mike said, like they looked thin on the mound, and A.J. Russell had to be like basically your Friday starter,
yeah.
And then you lose him. And yeah. Here they are, two wins from the Natty.
Yeah.
No, I like the debate. Let's hear it.
It's a – look, right now – is he the best coach in college baseball right now? I mean, it's hard to argue against it, right? I mean, they're the winningest team in college baseball the last 4 years. Now, they still got to finish the deal here, right? Like, because if they lose this series, the knock is still going to be, well, that's great, but you don't have a championship to show for it. So there's still some work left to be done here for Vitello and for this program. But let's say they do it. Let's say they win two games here against Texas A&M and they finish the deal. I said it yesterday, like, Ole Miss has won a national championship recently. Mississippi State's won a national championship. LSU's won a national championship. Like, what you're really doing there is joining the club, right? Like, you're joining the club, and then the question is, all right, can you build on it, and are there multiple championships coming? But you got to join the club first, and Tennessee is two wins away from doing that. But, I mean, teams are winning national championships left and right in the SEC right now.
No, that's – yeah, for sure. Again, you know, it's – this is the – capper to a stretch in which you have, you know, I'd say like a half a decade of consistent excellence means something. And so they've been the winningest program, you know, in the past four seasons.
Yes.
So, you know, that's more than just rising up and grabbing one. And look, over time, maybe they do fall off for 2 years or whatever. Like, it's still not easy. Especially, and this is where Corbin can absolutely attest, like, man, those recruiting classes, sometimes you shoot a little high, and then they end up not looking nearly as good because those guys just sign, you know? And then, it, like, that when you're at the highest level, that is one of the things, and really no other sport has to deal with that, you know? So there's no guarantee it's going to continue the way it has, but that just was – I had not – kind of, I guess, really considered that notion because there are other coaches in the sport, too, who have had long-term success, including in the SEC,
yeah,
who have had long-term success with programs with consistency. But I think you can start to make the case with everything leading up to this, and then you seal the deal.
Eli on the text line,
at least in the discussion,
says, anchor down, tell him to make the tournament 18 more times consecutively.
There you go. See, that's what I'm here for.
There we go. Josh says, Vols fan here, Tim Corbin is the Nick Saban of college baseball, and until he retires, Tony will be chasing him. A national championship just makes him closer. This is from Josh from Columbia on the text line. Another
you are rejected by Vol Twitter, sir. Are you really a Vols fan? Come on.
Another texter says, Joe, you are a Vols homer.
Oh, boy.
You said Milton would get drafted before the fifth round with a crying, laughing emoji face.
Didn't I say by the fifth? I think I said by the within the first five rounds.
Correct.
Yeah, I did not feel good about fourth round.
Yeah.
But I did think that he would go in the fifth round. What? He went in the sixth, right?
I believe sixth, yes.
God, so dumb that I made that bet. What was our bet? Did I pay you?
Lunch. Still owed.
So I owe you lunch. Chase and Big Joe and their wildly successful show, Oh Us Lunch.
Oh Us Lunch from almost a calendar year ago.
And Nick Keezer's about to buy us a more hot honey pepperoni pizza, isn't he?
I think that may be the case.
I really don't have a problem with buying more of that. But, Joe, I'm catching up in this competition. I'm right there.
Not anymore, you're not.
But no?
You're right there.
Today's the last day, right?
Today's the last day. You are within striking distance of him.
Hey, yes. That's all that matters.
So I could still lose
you
and have
to pay?
You
could still lose.
Oh, my God. Okay, so we got stakes.
Here we go. Let's go. So we'll get to that at 8:30, but yeah. You could still lose. Gordon in Nashville says, Mississippi State's natty was a long time coming. Don't count your chickens before they hatch, Vols fans.
That sure. No. Hey, look, absolutely. Well, look, Florida State. I mean, there are great programs that, you know, have had a struggle. East Carolina is, I would say, a really good college baseball program.
Yes.
They've had some really good teams. They've never been to Omaha. It's right. Insane.
Keith on the text line, going back to the Mike Wilson comment, says Wes Rucker agrees. Wes catching some strays.
Got to get after Wes. Whenever there's a controversial call, I immediately go to Wes's Twitter.
It never disappoints.
To know what to think.
That's a horrible call. He had one the other day where I think it was a review when they were calling out or safe. And then he just immediately, I thought he was safe. Tennessee fan. Okay. All right. Thank you, Wes.
I know some Vanderbilt fans who have a special affinity for Wes.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
I'll leave it at that.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. 615-737-1025. I'm just glad that apparently Wes Rucker and Kyle Tucker have repaired their beef.
I think they're cool now. I think they're good. I think they're buddies. I hope Kyle listens a lot. I've been hanging out with Kyle a lot. By the way, Kyle Tucker and I guarded each other in our staff hoops game in New York City this week.
Yeah.
He fouled the crap out of me. I love you, Kyle, but man, he was fouling the crap out of me.
Did you call it?
Not really. It's kind of one of those things where they're trying to throw me entry passes in the post, and he's just coming just through me.
Good.
To knock them away. So, you know, it's fine.
Well, you've got to do something when you're trying to deal with Joe Rexroad of the court.
I'm trying to get a question in here.
Well, then ask the question. Don't.
Kyle also got some good video of me. I sent it to you guys.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah. 615. My stomach sweat.
737-1025, our phone number. More of your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, the game.